Merry Christmas. Gotta get it in. Tomorrow's the last day, so I'm gonna thank you for all it's worth. Usually the baptism of the Lord is our last Sunday of the season, and we get to wrap it up from there. Because Christmas fell on a Sunday that moved everything. It all got haywire from there. So we celebrate this our last Sunday in the Christmas season. By midway through the week, we'll be back at ordinary time. And it's such a beautiful way to wrap up, really, when we think about it, the celebration of the Epiphany. It's this remarkable moment, and it's this great reminder to all of us that the signs can be there, and that the same event can be witnessed by many. And that doesn't mean that everybody sees the same thing. Easiest example I can give you, I remember I was in junior high, early on in my high school years, when I went to the fridge and I poured out the last of Mountain Dew into a glass, and I walked into the dining room. It was only about half full. And my one brother looked up and said, "It's half empty." I said, "No, actually, it's more like half full." My dad, ever being the engineer, said, "Well, actually, it doesn't have to be either. It's simply a vessel that's twice as large as it needs to be." My mother, the biologist, walked by and said, "I've seen that shade of yellow. I don't think you should drink that. It's not good for you." We all witnessed the same glass, and yet somehow we all thought of something different. We all see it. That doesn't mean we all see the same thing. And it's this remarkable moment. Consider these wise men, not wise guys, because that's something completely different, but these wise men who look up at the stars every night and they study them. They look at the stars and they map them. They follow them. They know where each and every one of them should be. They number them. And then a new one appears. It's not a helicopter. It's not an airplane. It's not a satellite. That'd be pretty impressive, but it's none of those things. It's a new light in the sky. And maybe it's not a star, maybe it's a comet. I'm not really worried about that separation at the moment. But it is this new light in the sky. And they know it's important. And they look at the position, they look at its association, and they know of its importance because it shines above all of the kings. And it tells them that it is not just a king, but a king among kings. It outshines certain ones. It says it's godlike in its power. And he was born. With these three facts in mind, they know that they must find it. It's the single most important event of their life, and they have to go see it. It's bigger than any concert that they could possibly camp out for. It's bigger than any Black Friday sale that they could possibly wrestle their way into. It's bigger than everything that they'll ever do. And they're ready to set aside their entire life if only they can see for themselves this king. And so they prepare for a journey, and they go out to find it. And I love it. I do, I love it. Because think about this for our own lives. Anytime we leave the house, anytime we set out on a journey, don't we all go through that mental checklist? Whether we're going to the grocery store or we're traveling across the state to visit family, we go through that mental checklist. Do I have to use the restroom before I leave? Do I know where my keys are? Do I know where everything is? Do I have my driver's license? Do I have all the essential components that I need to make this journey safely? Consider the wise men. They don't have a direct road. There's no GPS. They're setting out following a star. Could you imagine if you actually said to someone, "I want you to get directions to the place they're going." You said, you got it in the car. You said, "You got the directions, right?" They said, "Yep, head west. We're going to follow that star right there." I'd probably throw them out of the car right then and there. I don't know what else I would do at that point. It's just genuinely one of those moments where their directions are there, but they're a little vague, let's say. They have to say goodbye to everyone that they know, at least for the short term, if not for the long term. They have to prepare for every meal and stop along the way. There's no Motel 6 that's going to leave the light on for them, and there's definitely no McDonald's where people can fight about whether or not they want to eat the same kind of food for the fourth time on the same day. There's none of that. The only food they have is what they bring with them. The only place they stay is the tents they carry with them. I mean, it's really pretty, and I crush that when we have three guys that kind of show up from the East all by themselves. But let's be honest, they travel in a great big caravan of individuals. They had to kind of bring their own production crew in order to pull all of this off themselves. And they set out on this great journey, and these are noble men. These are men of distinction, because when they come to Herod and ask a question, he immediately sees them, which says that they are definitely men of a certain level of authority. And what do they ask? They say, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We know we should be here. We followed it all the way to this point. We have set out on our journey and we've gone all the way to this point. Where is he?" And Herod's troubled. All of Jerusalem's troubled too, because Herod just had a cleansing of his palace where two of his sons tried to take the throne from him, or at least Herod was convinced they were going to try to take the throne from him at some point, and so he killed his own sons for fear that they would one day actually take the throne from him. Jerusalem's troubled because if there's war in the citadel, in the palace, there's no stability in the streets for them. And if there's a new king, that means Herod's going to go on another rampage, and that is a terrifying thought for all of them. And Herod goes to his advisors. He says, where is he, this newborn king, this Messiah? These men saw it in the sky. And how did his wise men respond? They say, gosh, I don't know. We didn't see that in the night sky. They said, oh, no, we know what the Messiah is supposed to be born. Everybody knows. He's going to be born in Bethlehem. Go set him in Bethlehem. It'll be fine. They all looked at the same night sky. They all saw the same signs. But some of them knew what they were looking for, and some of them chose to ignore it. Don't think that Herod's wise men were somehow less adept. I mean, I don't know if they're going to actually match wit for wit with these wise men, but they weren't any dummies either. They saw the signs. They just hope they go away. The difference between the wise men that came from the east and the wise men that Herod consults is one of them looked up at the night sky and decided they needed to take action. The other one looked up at the night sky and thought, I don't want to get involved in that. And so they sent him to Bethlehem. And they see the stars rising. They see this newborn king. They go and they arrive and they do an homage as they would a king or a god. They show this and they bow down and they give him three gifts. What do you give to the baby who you know will be special amongst all the world, but you know not much else about him? You know that he's a king. You know that he's a god. You know that he's human. But aside from that, it's pretty much all you got to go on. What do you get him? I had this particular homily for the prisoners just earlier this week. I asked the same question. They immediately shouted back, gift card. I'm not really sure how the military are supposed to buy gift cards for Jesus, but it was a worthy idea, I guess, you know, it's all right. They bring him gifts reflecting the three things they know about him. They give him gold, because gold is the appropriate gift for the king. They give him frankincense, because frankincense is what you burn for a god. And they give him myrrh, because myrrh is a great burial spice when everyone dies. They might seem impractical, but actually they're very revealing as to the wisdom of the wise men. It actually reveals in some many beautiful ways the genuine intention that is being displayed by these wise men about all they know about this newborn king. And then they don't go tell Herod. Dream appeared in their dream, tells them to go home another way. They don't tell Herod no, because they don't want to see the destruction of this child either. As we celebrate this epiphany, I think it's a powerful reminder for all of us that the gifts that God presents to us and the great messages that he wants to share with us are practically written in the night sky. But whether or not we open our eyes and see how God is trying to speak to us, or whether we try and look the other way and hope it won't be there, is entirely up to us. God speaks to us in many ways. He finds all kinds of means to try and express his love for us. My challenge for you this week is to see them, to recognize God's gifts of love where they are, and not just think that it's some kind of happy coincidence or just another star in the sky.